He doesn't know it, but I was the first one to introduce lapel mics to Southside Baptist Church. Not on yet?
No, you're on. We want to hear you. We want to hear what you've got to say.
I don't need this thing. I can make Jim Roden hear me back there, Jim. Can you hear me, Jim? All right. I need this thing to tone me down. We had Brother Malcolm was a mild mannered. He was a great preacher, mild mannered type man. Of course, he was in his 70s. And when I came to Southside, he was a very gracious ex-pastor. But this pulpit was a little bit higher. It had a step stool here for you to get on, to get up on it, and it had wings on it. Well, I'm just no country boy, and I was constantly bumping this thing, and I fell off the stool almost one day. And when finally I kind of got a little bit comfortable with everybody, I said, could we possibly cut these wings off and get rid of this stool and drop this pulpit down to fit the preacher? Well, they have done that. I'm thankful to be back here with you, see all of you. New faces, but some of you who put up and endured with me. Brother Bush, Southside people are good people. They've been abused by preachers, including myself, but they're good people, and they will take good care of you. Right? Brother Estes, did I get that right this time? Yeah, okay. I enjoyed that message so much yesterday. That was a great message. Without the Holy Spirit of God, we could do nothing. And that's what it's all about, folks. It's about worshiping Him. It's not about preachers. It's not about anyone else except Jesus Christ.
Yes. Amen.
I'm glad to see all of you. I'm thankful to see my brother Rod and his wife Barb. Enjoyed the song that she sang. We sing that song all the time in our church. I didn't know what she was going to sing, but I certainly enjoyed that song. Hail Sovereign Love. That's a great song. I'm glad to have my brother Paul here, his wife Judy. I requested that song. That's not such an old song, but it's a good song. It's written by a West Virginia man, Squire Parsons. And I like that song very much. And then I'm thinking about some others that I see here. Sister Jean Shears. Jeannie, we love you. We've got so many fond memories together. And the Rodens. And John and Annette Gruber. Just got so many fond memories. John could tell you a lot of bad stories about me. I tried to starve him to death one time. I felt like he needed to go on a diet, so I drug him across the mountains of West Virginia, and I kept telling him, the restaurant is just down the road. About 7 o'clock that night, we got there. He was about starved to death time. Right, John? He lost 10 pounds from lunch to supper time. He held it against me. I don't know why he held it against me. That song reminds me, when I was a young man, I heard an old preacher say something that really just through the years have stuck with me and reminds me a lot. He said when he was first saved, heaven was a far off place where Jesus was. And then he got married and they had a little baby and it died. He said heaven was a far off place where Jesus and my little baby was. New time his parents died. Heaven was a far off place where Jesus and my little baby and my parents was. He said years and time went by. He said more and more of my friends passed away. And he said, I want to tell you something today. Heaven's just over there. And I got more friends over there than I got here. And I want to see Jesus, but I look forward to seeing all of my friends that God's given me through the years. We'll never say goodbye. Jenny, you won't need that wheelchair. Old Deacon Silas. No, it wasn't Silas. Who?
Sam Silas.
Y'all don't know him. older members. Sam was bent over. But I'll tell you, every time the door was open here at Southside, Sam would be there unless he was really sick. He encouraged me so many times just by being here. You folks don't understand. Us preachers need encouragement by you showing up. I'll tell you, it ain't much fun preaching to empty pews. I've done that sometime. Wasn't for my wife, just her and I. But it's good to see you here. I wish all of you, some of you who've traveled to foreign countries, I wish all of you could be privileged to go some of the places my wife and I've been, to go to Siberia and preach the same doctrines that we believe here and have the same kind of Baptist churches that we have here. It's just amazing. They don't speak the same language, but I'll tell you, they love the same Lord. And when we get to heaven, we're going to be one there in the glory land. Heaven, I've been to India. We're blessed to help establish about 15 churches in India, and they believe the same things you believe here. Come and go with me to India and preach there, brethren, and worship with me. Isn't it wonderful? The family of God reaches all across the face of the earth. I'm glad to see my black brothers and sisters here in the congregation. I'm glad to see all of you. I tell folks, God don't look at skin. He don't listen to language. He just looks at the heart. That's all He's interested in. Must be a new heart born again by the Holy Spirit of God. Now, I'm going to want you to turn to Jeremiah the sixth chapter. Jeremiah chapter 6. Now, to those of you who have such good remembrance, mind, you might remember that the last time I preached here, which I believe was about the year 2009, I'm not sure, but I preached from this same text. If you remember that, don't tell anybody else. When Brother Burns Bush, sorry Brother Bush, when Brother Bush called me and asked me to come, I was so thrilled, and almost immediately this text came to my mind. But since then, I've tried to get off on some other text, and Lord, let me preach. I preached this the last time I was there, and I'm sure they all remember it. And I just couldn't get away from it. So here we go. Amen. Isaiah the 6th chapter, verse 18. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways, and see, and ask for the old paths, wherein is the good way, and walk therein, and you shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. Now I want to say the old paths doesn't mean riding a horse or riding in a carriage. The old paths doesn't mean that you have to live like some monk somewhere or another. He's talking about the old paths that are set forth in the Word of God. Now, Baptists are not reformers. Baptists don't look to John Calvin. John Baptists don't look to Charles Wesley. Baptists don't look to some creed written that some man drafted. I don't care what creed. Baptists are Bible people. And when we talk about the old paths, we're talking about the paths laid out in the Word of God. And if I'm not speaking to you the things that are laid out in the Word of God, you call me down and pull me out of this pulpit, because that's all we want to preach, and that's what God's people need to hear. The Lord, Paul said to Timothy, preach the word. And that's what we need, is preachers who will preach the word, and congregations and churches who demand to be heard, to hear the word of God. Now here's the problem. Here's the promise, first of all. Point number one. The promise made here in this text is rest for your souls. Oh, how precious that promise is. You know, there's nothing any more valuable and more precious than your soul. What should it profit a man if he gain the whole world and yet lose his own soul? The Lord said that. I believe the words of Jesus Christ. I believe your soul is the most precious thing you have. You may not understand that. You may not realize that. And the world may be deceiving you that a stack of money or a deck of cards or a rich big house or money in the bank or some woman or some some man is more important than your soul, but your soul is the most precious thing you got. What should it profit a man if he gained the whole world and yet lose his own soul? But the world today, folks, don't know, for the most part, don't know anything about how valuable the soul is. And they're chasing after everything else in the world. And the world is deceiving them. Satan is deceiving them. And they're ruining their lives, wasting their lives. And sorrow and grief go with them. And some of them are losing everything that they've got. And when they realize how they've lost everything and wasted everything, they'll take a gun and blow their brains out. Oh, my heart goes out to those kind of people. How thankful you ought to be that you know who is the Savior, your soul, Jesus Christ, and that you've been redeemed by the precious blood of Christ, and that you have the great, by the grace of God, you have the peace of God in your heart today. This world doesn't know anything about peace. The trouble, the Bible says, Isaiah says, the wicked are like the troubled sea. I used to live in Daytona Beach. I moved to Daytona Beach, and God right real quick told me I didn't want to stay there because it sent two hurricanes right across Daytona Beach. Many years ago. But I'd go down to the beach and watch that ocean as that hurricane was out at sea and it was coming straight in towards Daytona Beach. And look at that ocean as those waves were being tossed up. The Bible says the wicked are like the troubled sea tossing up its mire. How it is indeed, my friend, that the unregenerate person, the unsaved person, and those that do not know Jesus Christ, they have no peace in their life. When trouble comes, they're like this troubled sea. They just are troubled on every hand and cannot find a refuge for their soul. But thank be unto God, by your sovereign grace and mercy, you who have been brought to know Jesus Christ, you found something that the world knows nothing about and has a valuable more precious than even all the world, and that is you have Jesus Christ as the Savior of your soul, and you have rest for your souls. You won't find it from drugs, you won't find it in alcohol, you won't find it in any place else except in Jesus Christ, who said, come on to me, all of you at labor, and I will give you rest for your soul. What a rest the Lord gives to his people. Most of you know that we lost our two daughters in November. And people were inquiring. We got phone calls, letters, emails. I appreciate all the things that people said and did to comfort us and encourage. It was just a great encouragement. Don, most of you, some of you would remember Don. She was in the Bible quiz team that won the state championship for Southside Baptist Church. I'm awful thankful for the labors of all of them. I'm not just promoting Don. It was a team effort. But we lost those two girls, dear precious souls. They died a week apart. I wouldn't bring them back. Thank the Lord they're with Jesus Christ today. But people would say, how you making it? Well, I'm all right. I'm okay. God's in control. He's sovereign. I know what he's done is good. I may not understand everything, but listen, here's the comfort for the soul in the time when they're facing death. Jesus Christ is my Savior, and God's in control. The thing that God promises is something that he will give by his sovereign grace. Not by works, for by grace are we saved. Not by anything that we do. The reason being, my friend, that if we had anything to do with it, we'd boast of it. But when you get to heaven, you'll say, Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left the crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Amen. And so, the promise made is this. Come unto me, all of you labored and heavy laden. And I will give you rest. It's unto Christ. Christ is the only means, the only Savior. He's the only way. He is the only Redeemer of our souls. And it's only in Christ that we'll find rest for our souls. It's not in baptism. It's not in church membership. It's not anything that we do. And so it is in Christ. Amen. Ask for the old ways and walk in. Now the first thing that I want to point out to you about the old ways, you'll note that this verse says, thus saith the Lord. The old ways, my friend, is the ways of the laid out in the Word of God. It's the old ways. That's His ways. He's given His Word. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for instruction, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God, that includes women too, may be thoroughly furnished. Do you know what that word means? It means qualified in every way. I appreciate the message we heard this morning already from Brother Turner. What a great message that was about the Word of God, the benefits of the Word of God. Here it is, my friend. If you want to find rest for your souls in this troubled world, if you want to find rest that you can lay your head upon, if you want to find rest in the midst of the storm, go to Christ and look to His Word. And you'll find strength and comfort that the world can't give to you. You won't find it on the devil box. You won't find it anyplace else except in Jesus Christ and His Word. Now, I appreciate the emphasis being made upon the King James Version. I believe it is the best English version that you can use. And I'll tell you, one of the ways in which the world is trying to deceive people is by bringing out all these modern perversions. I didn't say translation, I said modern perversions. The Word of God is precious. It is tried as silver. It is, my friend, the very message, the Word that God has given to us as His people. And it is this that we need to follow after. As I said, not after some creed, not after some man, but after Christ and His Word. The apostles continue steadfastly. The message last yesterday morning, Brother Lamb, quoting that verse of Scripture, they continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. That's what they got from Jesus Christ. And I'll tell you, it hasn't changed since the days of Jesus Christ and the apostles. The truth has not. Turn in your Bibles, please, to a verse of Scripture that I want you to point out to you. The 57th chapter of Isaiah. Isaiah 57 and verse 20. The Redeemer shall come to Zion. He has come. One of those shalls, every one of God's shalls, shall be accomplished. The Redeemer shall come unto them that turn from transgression in Jacob, saith the Lord. And as for me, this is my covenant with them, saith the Lord. Now note this, my spirit that is upon thee, and my words which I have put in thy mouth, shall not depart out of thy mouth, nor out of the mouth of thy seed, nor out of the mouth of the seed, saith the Lord, from henceforth and forevermore. The truth of God has not changed. It is preserved by God. Preserved by God. Perpetuated by God. There are some words you need to understand about the truth of God. First of all, it's impeccable. I don't care what the scientists say. I don't care what any theologians say. I don't care what the philosophers say. The truth of God is impeccable, and it is indeed immutable. It changes not. It does not conform to our society, but rather our society needs to conform to the Word of God. And regardless of what Dr. So-and-so says, or how many DDDs he's got after his name, if it's not according to thus saith the Word of God, it is one that we are not to be listening to. I appreciate what the brother said about Smiley Joel. He's not the only one. A lot of them could be mentioned, but he's being kind. But I'll tell you one thing, my friends. We need to examine every man's message by thus saith the Word of God. Not how big a crowd he's got, not how much what's going on, how big the congregation is, but what does God's Word say? Message yesterday again on the Holy Spirit. John the 4th chapter. Jesus Christ said, God is spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. You cannot divide those two out. You cannot separate them out. Wherever the truth of God is, the Spirit of God is. And you cannot have the Spirit of God where the truth of God has been violated and trampled underfoot.
Amen.
Message Saturday morning. You want to have the Spirit of God, keep the Spirit of God in this church, and have the Spirit of God to lead and guide this church, have the Spirit of God to bless your pastor, have the Spirit of God and to continue on the growth of this church, then you must have the truth of God being preserved and preached and taught in this church.
Right.
If you depart from the truth of God, the Spirit of God will depart.
Right.
Ichabod will be written over the name, over the door. There are many Baptist churches today that have the name Ichabod written over them.
Wow.
Greenbar Baptist Church in Alderson, West Virginia. established by John Alderson Jr., one of the early missionary Baptists out of Virginia. He came over to the area there on the Greenbrier River, and God blessed his ministry, and there was a church established, one of the oldest churches established on the next to the mountains, across the mountains, the Allegheny Mountains there, western side of the Allegheny Mountains, one of the first churches established. I tell you, that church held to all the doctrines and truths set forth in the Word of God, a very faithful church. But you go to that church today, and it is a liberal church, and they don't know anything about their history, and they don't know anything about the truth of God, except the Bible is a good book to read sometime. And Ichabod had been written over the door of the church. You see, history is not the assurance of perpetuity. It's the Word of God. He preserves His Word. He perpetuates His truth. And as long as this church and any church or any preacher holds to and follows after the Word of God, you'll find rest for your souls. Walk in the old paths, and you shall find rest for your souls. Not only is the truth about God's Word, is the truth about God's sovereignty. God is absolutely, totally sovereign in everything that He does. He does not ask for the opinion, nor does He take a vote about anything. I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, you sons of Jacob are not consumed. As He has purposed it, so shall it come to pass. There's none that can hinder Him in anything that He does. God is absolute. He worketh all things, Paul says in Ephesians. He worketh all things after the counsel of His own will. What a great comfort it is to know that the Almighty God, the all-wise God, the all-powerful God, is the God that's working in our lives. Some people say that's fatalism. No, I take great comfort in it to know that the absolute sovereign God who has ordained all things that come to pass, He is working in my life to His glory and to my good. Yes. I believe Romans 8:28. Yes. All things work together for good for them that love the Lord, who are the called according to His purpose. An old preacher was preaching from that text, and he was preaching like it says and like it teaches. And after church was over with, somebody confronted him out front and said, "I don't believe what you was preaching." He said, "What do you mean?" He said, "You said if I was come on my way to church and I had a car wreck and my family got killed, it was for my good." He said, "No, that's not what I said." He said, "What did you say?" He said, "I said, all things work together for good to them that love the Lord, who are the called according to His purpose." I don't know if you're one of God's elect or not, but if you're one of God's elect, it's working for your good. Amen. The sovereignty of God is a great comfort to the people of God. It's not in our government. Our hope is not in it. I appreciate all those who have fought and died for the defense of our country and for our flag. But I'll tell you one thing. Our flag is not our defense. Our political parties are not our defense. Our White House is not our defense. Our government is not our defense. Our defense is in Jesus Christ. Amen. He is the one that will give you comfort and rest for your souls. The truth of God's sovereign electing grace. Baptists believed that before John Calvin ever was born. Baptists are not Calvinists. We're followers of Jesus Christ. I believe in sovereign electing grace. I believe in irresistible grace. When I first came to Southside Baptist Church, Brother Phil Ryder, I remember this. Phil, you may have forgotten it. Brother Phil Reiner asked me, said, "Do you believe in the 5 points of Calvinism?" I said, "Well, let me tell you what I believe. I believe in the total depravity of all men. I believe in the absolute sovereignty of God. I believe in sovereign electing grace. I believe that Jesus Christ died to save His people from all their sins. I believe that all people who are for whom Jesus Christ died, every one of them will be brought to know the knowledge of Christ, be brought to the knowledge of Christ as Lord and Savior. And I believe that all of them will be made to cause to persevere in their faith." Now you tell me what I believe. You remember that, Phil? Is Phil here? He's not here today. I can talk about him. How you, Timothy? I'm not a Calvinist. I'm a Baptist. Amen. Baptists are not reformers, folks. Don't be deceived.
Right.
Reformers are not Bibleists.
Right.
I believe in the particular redemption of Jesus Christ. Southern Baptists had a thing several years ago about smile, God loves you. And I said then, if you believe what they believe about the death of Christ, there's no reason for smiling. There's no reason for crying. If you think that Jesus Christ went to the cross and died for all people exactly alike, hoping that some of them would be saved, that's not a reason to be happy. That's a reason to be grieving about, because according to their theology, some of those that Christ died for are going to go to hell. According to what the Bible teaches, every one of those that Christ died for are going to receive eternal life and be with Christ forever and ever. What a great comfort that is. Sometimes I don't feel like I'm a child of God, but I'll tell you one thing. I cannot deny what the Word of God says. His name should be called Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sins. Not by works of rights which we had done, but according to His mercy, He saved us. By the washing of regeneration. That's the next thing. One of the things we need to hold to and remind ourselves of walking the old path is remember the doctrine of regeneration. Baptists used to insist that a person must first of all be born again before they become members. Now we, most of them anymore, just take them in like you are. Now I don't mind you coming like you are, but I want you going out like you are.
Amen.
There's a difference. You come to know Jesus Christ, there's a change takes place. You're made to be a new creature in Christ. You don't have the same friends. You don't have the same goal in life. You don't walk the same way. You live for Christ.
Amen.
If you've been born again.
Yeah.
Christ said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. That tells me that the Holy Spirit of God must do His work in regeneration in order that people might be blessed to understand and know what the gospel. He must open blinded eyes. He must open deaf ears. He must give a new heart. And He does that you might hear the blessed news of the gospel of Jesus Christ and rejoice in Christ as your Lord and Savior.
Amen.
Regeneration is an essential doctrine to the doctrine of salvation. Regeneration is an essential doctrine to the doctrine of salvation.
Amen.
We must understand all of its amplifications and the marvelous mystery of it. Our Lord said, Nicodemus said, how can these things be? And our Lord began to explain to him, the wind bloweth whithersoever it listeth. And thou canst not tell from whence it cometh, nor where it goes. So is he that's born of the Spirit. You go out there and tell me where that wind's coming from. Oh, you say, we got a western wind. Yeah. How do you know it's a western wind? Because you see the wind, see the trees leaning over that way. But you cannot tell from whence it cometh, or where it goes. How powerful. You know, riding these big old planes going to Russia and going to India. The Lord blessed me to make several of these trips. And you go and get on these big 747s. I tell you, them things are big. They got 400 some people, two decks on those things. And you get on those things and you get riding across through there. And all of a sudden that thing begins to go like this. And those wings begin to do this little dance. And you say, Lord, hold this thing together. But the power of those wings, of that wind, those jet streams that sweep across the face of the earth. You know what a hurricane will do. We got tornadoes up in Mississippi. I'll tell you what, they'll pick you up and set you down another state. So is everyone that's born of the Spirit. Irresistible, mighty power of God's Holy Spirit in regeneration. There's not a heart too hard for what it cannot quicken and make it to be soft. There's not an ear so deaf for what the Holy Spirit of God can open it up, just like it did to Lydia, whose heart the Lord opened and she gave attending to the things that Paul had been preaching. There's not a blind eye so blind but what the Holy Spirit of God can shine to that heart. As Paul says, God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness hath commanded the light to shine in our hearts in the face of Jesus Christ, that we might see the glory of God in Christ.
Amen.
There's not a deaf ear so deaf that it cannot hear the voice of Christ. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them. He knew them from before the foundation of the world. And when the Holy Spirit of God speaks to the heart and brings it and draws it unto Christ, their heart is brought and their ears are open and they're made to receive Christ as Lord and Savior. You say, that sounds like somebody, God, dragging somebody down with a hair of the head. Well, thank the Lord He dragged me by the hair of the head. I didn't want to be a Christian. I was reared in a Christian home, taken to church every Sunday. Started off even in my diapers. Messed in my diapers even in church. I don't want to go to church. I said, when I get out of this place, out of house, my home, out of my dad's house, I'll never become a Christian. I'll never go to church till I get about 100 years old. But that wasn't the mind of God. Thank the Lord, He was pleased to quicken me and call me. Regenerate me and bless me to hear the gospel of my salvation in Christ Jesus. Hold the truth of regeneration. Walk with the old paths. Baptist churches are forsaking the doctrine of regeneration today. It's easy believism. It's come and join the church. Well, I'll leave off this. I've got to move on. The truth of God's sovereign preservation of His people. I enjoyed watching those videos, slides. I think about the saints from this church that have gone on to be with the Lord. The preachers that God's blessed to minister to this church. And every one of them would tell you, I've been blessed to persevere because of God's grace in my heart and my life. Amen. Being confident of this very thing, that He that has begun a good work in you, He will continue it unto the day of the Lord. It's not in me, they would say. It's not because of my goodness. Not because that I held out. It's because Christ kept me and held me out. And when I became wayward, He brought me back to the path. When it was that I would go astray, He came to me and rescued me. When it was that I was doubting, He came and lifted me up. When I was in sorrow, He was my comforter. When I was weak, He was my strength. When I was lost, He was my Savior. And He was everything to me. He is the one that kept me. To Him be all the glory and honor. The doctrine of the second coming of Jesus Christ. I appreciate what Brother Turner said about that this morning. I believe in the imminent return of Christ. Now, I got to pick an exception to you. I'm sorry, Brother Bush. I trust God is pleased to bless the ministry of Southside Baptist Church for 80 more years or even 100 more years. But really, I'm hoping the Lord comes today. And it comes to an end. But until the Lord comes, I hope the Lord will continue to persevere and bless the church. But I'll tell you what I'm looking forward to. I'm homesick for heaven. I want to hurry and get there as soon as the Lord will take me. If He wants me to take me right now, I just say, thank the Lord. I'm on my way. I'll see you later. That's a plane I don't want to miss. That's a train I got a ticket for. I'm on my way by the grace of God. And I'm homesick. I've got a lot of friends there already. I told someone when we buried our two daughters, I said, the world just got a little bit more lonesome and heaven just became a little bit more sweeter. The second coming of Jesus Christ. When He breaks through the skies and the saints of God come forth out of their graves. I tell you what, I'd like to be standing beside of a grave when some of those that deny the resurrection and watch that soul, that blessed saint of God come forth out of it. Say, what do you think about it now? But they're going to be caught up when the Lord comes, and we which are alive remain unto them will be caught up to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be. Yes. Now that's the great comfort. The peace of the heart of child God people is that so shall we ever be. I don't know all about what heaven's going to be like. I know what the book of Revelation says, and I don't understand all that, but I believe it. But I'll tell you one thing, the most important thing about heaven is that Jesus is going to be there. That's the one I want to see. John said, whom you love, having not seen. My wife and I have been blessed to be married 57 years. Almost. 57 in August. We courted for about 3 years before we got married. I was away in college, Bible college, and she was about 500 miles from me. And every now and then, in fact, about 3 times a week, regularly, I'd get a letter from her. Oh, I would love to get those letters. She was faithful and right. I wasn't very faithful. On the back of that letter was 4 letters. S-W-A-K. Now, some of you don't know what that means. You don't. You're email people. You don't understand email. But S-W-A-K, that means sealed with a kiss. Woo! I'd get that letter. Woo! I'd get excited. I couldn't hardly wait to get that thing open and start reading that letter. But every now and then, I got to go see her. Woo! Now you talking about making an old car fly down the highway? As fast as that thing would go and the police would let me get, I was on my way to see my sweetheart. One time we lived in Elmira, New York. I was in college. I talked my dad and let me take the car, go down to see my sweetheart. My Uncle Leonard was going to ride with me. We started pouring the snow in Elmira. Before we got out of town, there was 6 inches of snow on the ground. My dad said, son, you can't do that. I said, it's too bad out. I said, I got to go, Dad. We slipped and slid across the mountains, northern West Virginia, down through Pennsylvania. I mean, we were going every which way. I just kept on going, kept the throttle down. My uncle said, June, that's my nickname. June, you better stop. It's getting too bad. I said, we're going to go. We got to make it. I'm going to see my sweetheart. Woo! Nothing like it. And then one glorious day, August the 8th, 1959. That organ started playing that music and that door swung open. And there she came in that white gown. Man, the one I love, he's going to be my wife. And the preacher said, I pronounce you man of mine. You can kiss your bride. Whoa, that was glorious. But wait. The day is going to come when I see him who loved me from before the foundation of the world and came to this old sin-cursed earth and took my sins upon him and went to the cross and died for me that I might have eternal life. Oh, what a precious thing. Brother Jerry Smith used to sing that old song. By and by, when I look on his face, by and by, when he holds out his nail-scarred hands, I wish I had given him more than I ever gave before. The old paths. Keep preaching them, brother. Hold fast to them, church. You'll find rest for your souls in this old sin-cursed, troubled world. The truth about biblical missions. I believe in missions. I believe in biblical missions. Now, there's 3 things that I say qualify for biblical missions. In order to have biblical missions, you must have a biblical messenger. He must be a man that's called by God and sent by God. Oh, I know the church is involved in here, but he is sent by God and he must have a biblical message. If he doesn't know the truth about the gospel, if he doesn't know the truth about sovereign grace, if he doesn't know the truth about how it is that God regenerates people by the Holy Spirit of God, they're not biblical missionaries. I appreciate the labors of men on the Baptist faith mission, wasn't it, brother? Brother Turner's family. Not only must it be biblical messenger, but it must be a biblical method. Not mission boards. God never established mission boards. The way for doing mission work is through and by a local New Testament church. When I resigned from this church, felt impressed of the Lord to go to the foreign fields, I ask Southside Baptist Church to send me forth, give me the authority, and ask them to be my sending agent. And they did. And they were faithful in doing that. God's work is always done through a local New Testament church.
Amen.
Biblical method and a biblical purpose. What are we doing? We're preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Why? I was in Pensacola, Florida, having lunch with a young man from India. A man that was pastor from India was with me, and we were there to meet this man from the same state in India. And he was finishing up his fifth year, and so we were there to visit with him. And I said, what are you going to do when you get out of college, finish up college? He said, I want to be a world evangelist. I said, man, that's great. That's wonderful. I said, why do you want to be a world evangelist? He said, because Jesus Christ said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. I said, amen, brother, I believe that. I said, what else? He said, what do you mean? I said, what else is in the Great Commission? He said, well, I don't know. He said, I've only been in college 5 years. I said, well, let me quote it for you in case you don't know. Go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature, baptizing them that believe, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you. I'll tell you, friend, unless I understand things right, that Jesus Christ sent forth his people and to do mission work under this authority, the Church of Jesus Christ, and they go out preaching, and they go out baptizing, and they go out to establish New Testament Baptist churches.
Amen. Amen.
To teach them to observe all things whatsoever he had commanded them. He said, well, I've never heard that before. I said, I understand. Because I knew where he came from, interdenominational school. Now, I want to tell you something. I've been to Bible college, but I want to tell you something. Bible colleges are not the citadel for the truth.
Amen.
The pillar and ground of truth is a New Testament church.
Right.
And you can't get better training on the doctrines of the Word of God than a New Testament Bible church, Baptist church. Now, I'm not against education. Lord knows I need more of it. And a lot of people wished I had it. But I'll tell you one thing. The most important place for you to get the knowledge of the truth is from a Bible preaching Baptist preacher in a Baptist church. That's where you'll get full knowledge of the Word of God.
Amen.
Talking about church, that's only one kind of church. That's a local called out assembly of born again believers. Now, I don't care what Schofield, what Wesley, or what anyone else says. It's always a local called out assembly. Unless it's talking about it in a general sense. Various churches. I think if we're not mistaken, there's about 27 times in the New Testament that the word churches is used. That word disproves the idea of a universal invisible church. There's no such thing. It's amazing, those people who talk about and believe in universal invisible church, when it comes to pastoring, they want to pastor a local assembly.
Amen.
The only kind of church that Jesus Christ established, and this church was established upon this principle. Dr. Roy Mason, who was the pastor of Brother Malcolm. Brother Malcolm called me up. I was living in North Carolina. A brother, preacher friend, recommended me to come here to pastor the church. Brother Malcolm called me up. I didn't know Brother Malcolm. Didn't know Southside Baptist Church. Brother Malcolm called me up. Said, Brother Hatfield, said, you've been recommended to come and candidate for pastor of the church. I said, well, first of all, I don't candidate. I said, I'll come preach, but I don't candidate. Secondly, I said, I'm a strange preacher, narrow-minded Baptist preacher. And that's the only kind of church that I'll ever pastor, is a Bible-believing Baptist church. He said, oh, we are. I said, well, let me qualify some of that. And I started in. I started talking about sovereign electing grace. Well, we believe that. I said, well, I believe in closed communion. Well, we believe that. I said, I believe in wine, the Lord's Supper. Well, we believe that. He said, I believe in head covering. Well, we believe that. I said, well, okay, I'll talk to you then. You see, only kind of church that I want to put my energies in is a church that believes the Bible and follows the Bible. Thank the Lord, this church is established upon biblical foundations, knowing that the church that Jesus Christ established is preserved and perpetuated by Jesus Christ. Now, the church of Jerusalem that he established has gone out of business and non-existent, as far as I know. I mean, there might be an assembly there now, but as far as I know, last time I was in Israel, there was no New Testament Baptist churches there. But I'll tell you one thing, the church of Jesus Christ that Jesus Christ established, it did not cease to exist. It was not swallowed up by the Catholic Church. It has always been in existence and always preaching and teaching the truths of Jesus Christ. Amen. And you here today are blessed by the privilege of being affiliated with the church that Jesus Christ established since the days of the apostles.
Amen.
Thank you. You won't get that in many other Baptist churches in America. They've lost that. And I warn you, if it doesn't believe, if the congregation, if the pastor does not believe in a local assembly exclusively, hit the road. Look for someplace else. Because that is the only kind of church that is the body of Christ. Oh, I get so tired of hearing this thing. Oh, we're all members of the body of Christ. Not what the book says. Oh, we're all in the bride of Christ. Not unless you're in a New Testament Baptist church. Now, I know that's not popular, but that's what I believe the book teaches. And that's what this church was established upon. Right, Jeannie? Yeah. Stand in the old paths. Ask for them. Seek them. You see, it's not easily found. It's not the popular doctrine. It's not what everybody believes. You got to, someone said that Bible truths are like gems. Not G-Y-M's, but G-E-M's. They must be dug out and searched out at great cost and great effort. The Word of God is a precious mine of gems. But you've got to seek it by the Spirit of God and ask God to teach me. I didn't believe all these things when I was first converted. Well, I came out of a free will Baptist church, so-called Baptist church. I believe in universalism. I believe that Christ died for everybody. And when I heard something else different, I thought, man, that's the craziest doctrine in the world. When a dear friend gave me a tract about universal church, I said, he's a heretic. And I just put that in the file and put it way back there in the back. About 10 years later, I went looking for it. Because God had troubled my heart. And the Lord said, it's not Preacher Hatfield, not Preacher Bush, not Preacher Malcolm. The Lord said, stand you in the old ways. Seek, ask, and you shall find rest for your souls. That means not just rest, that means comfort, that means strength, that means encouragement. That means the Lord's presence. You see, Matthew 28 ends with this precious promise. Here's what a lot of people miss. Why is it so important that we follow that formula? Go to all the world, preaching the gospel, baptizing those that believe, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. Next words. Precious words. Important words. Lo, I am with you always. He's talking about the kind of church he's with. He's not talking about just individuals, but he's talking about the individuals that make up that kind of church. And the church that Jesus Christ established and the kind of church that Jesus Christ preserves and perpetuates is the kind of church that holds to the doctrine set forth in the New Testament. And may God bless you and your pastor, that this church will be blessed to follow the old paths. God bless you.